is open tomorrow.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchis Mamrim Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, Chapter 2, Law 4. We're discussing when a Beis Din makes a decree, if it can be overruled or not. And we said a specific decree that's made as a siyug for the Torah, as a protective fence around mitzvahs. We said that later generations cannot overturn it, even if they're greater in number. The only things you can overturn, if they made just a general law, general decree, and it spread around, then you can deal with that, maybe change that. Okay, so now let's go. We're going to talk about these now, of these decrees. Dalit, v'yesh le-Beis Din lakar af tvar me'elu lefi shah. And the truth is, there are certain things that a Beis Din even temporarily can suspend, even if it's a siyag, even if it's a fence, and we say a later Beis Din cannot overturn it. Still, they can, under certain circumstances, a later Beis Din can overturn it, lefi shah, as an emergency measure, not as a permanent overturning of the law. Even if the later court is not as great as the earlier court that instituted that safeguard. Why? Because rabbinic decrees can't be any stronger than biblical mitzvahs itself. And we know, even biblical mitzvahs, a court has the ability to temporarily make an emergency measure and uproot that mitzvah on a temporary basis. Kate said, let's have an example. Beis Din Shiro Lechazek Hados Lasek Syog Kedesh Lo Yavro Amal Divrei Torah. Let's say the Beis Din decided to strengthen Yiddishkeit and make a fence around a certain mitzvah so Jews don't transgress the biblical mitzvahs. Well, so therefore, if they do that and they want to strengthen it, and makin va'onshin, they can really punish, give lashes, or death penalties, even shalo kadin, even not according to Torah law, if they feel it's important to do. And there's many examples of that. Gemara gives an example of a man was being intimate with his wife in an open area under a tree, which is not exactly, there's nothing in the Torah that says a man can't be with his wife. But under a tree is not exactly the best thing to do. But the Torah doesn't prohibit it. So what did the rabbis do? So the rabbis went and lashed them. Well, where does it say in the Torah? Well, the rabbi said, we can't do these kinds of things. So they lashed them. Or a fellow was riding on a horse on Shabbos during the times of the Greek persecution. And Rashi explains that mitzvahs were denigrated in Jewish people's eyes. So riding a horse is only transgressing a rabbinic decree. The worst you could get is rabbinic lashes at best, or at worst. And Beis Din went and stoned him. Why did they do that? To make a fence around the Torah. So you see that Beis Din can, even though it's not biblically justified, but they're allowed to do that if they feel it's an emergency measure. However, aval ein kovin adavar ledoros, but they don't establish that for generations, as they're saying this now becomes the new law forever, for omeng et tesei shaloch gachi, this is the law forever. So that they cannot do.
Examples of when the temporary rescinded stuff?
I don't know, but most of the time it's not temporary. You know, it could be a long time. But most of the example, well, I guess during that Greek thing, that was only during a certain period of time
when the Greeks. Well, is that what we're talking about?
No, first he's starting with establish them to begin with.
Right.
Even the rabbinic ones. Even if you're going against the Torah, you don't, to kill somebody for riding a horse, then you're making an emergency decree going against the Torah.
Severe. I think Mark's asking, is there something where they were less severe than the Torah requires?
I thought we said
why would anybody at the time be less severe than what the Torah requires? That wouldn't make Judaism any stronger.
I thought
to be lenient? I know, we're not up to that yet. We're not just explaining the basics. We're saying what's the whole idea over here? What's going on? And what kind of decrees are rabbis doing? We're showing how you could take a biblical halacha and temporarily change it. Yeah. We don't have to come on to rabbinics. We're giving you biblical examples over here. That's also the same thing, Eliyahu Navi, right? Going against the Torah. You can't bring an animal offering outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And that was only a temporary thing. But we don't make it a permanent change. If they saw for the time being, temporarily, to nullify a positive mitzvah, olavor al mitzvahs losar, to transgress a negative avera, kidei lahachzer rabin l'dos, to bring the Jews back to the masses. And that was the example of Eliyahu HaNavi doing that thing over there at Har HaKarmel. And other things, for example, you can't blow a shofar on Shabbos. That's a clear example. The rabbis made a decree, and they're it's not forever.
That's permanent.
No, it's not permanent. When we'll start keeping Shabbos better, then they will lift it. They said they saw Jews weren't keeping Shabbos, so we're making a temporary
decree.
Same thing. If we would start keeping Shabbos better, then they'd lift the decree.
This is already thousands of years.
So, you know, it's what can you do? But they're not saying, they're not saying that it's forbidden to blow a shofar on Shabbos. They're not saying that. They're saying there's a biblical mitzvah to blow the shofar on Shabbos. But we're making emergency measures till Shabbos becomes something important in the people's eyes. And therefore, we're not changing the law, but we're saying that we rabbinically are saying not to blow the shofar until we feel Shabbos is stronger with the Jewish people.
Interrupting. Is the air
No, it shouldn't be on. There's no way the air conditioner could be on.
Hold it?
I only have it
on cold air.
I only have it on heat.
Okay.
Unless somebody was playing with it.
Does it feel nothing. Like it's blowing cold to anyone else? Or is it just
no,
well,
I'm
probably the heat's not on the fence or something.
I'm comfortable.
Okay.
I don't know. Ola Hatzel Rabbi Miyisrael. Martin's certainly comfortable. Ola Hatzel Rabbi Miyisrael Malihi Koshel Udvarachem. Are they trying to save Jews from stumbling in many other areas? Olsin Lefimashit Shrikhasha. They do what the time needs. Kishem Sharof. Good analogy now. Kishem Sharof Echotech Yado Ragla Shoseh. Even a doctor will sometimes amputate an arm or a leg of a person who has a certain poisoning. Why? Kidei Shichus, the whole body should live. Therefore, the Bezdin sometimes will rule from time to time to transgress a few of the mitzvahs temporarily so that we should be able to keep all of them, because all the mitzvahs are like one body and we could get a poisoning in one area. As early rabbi said, for example, if a person is sick, you can be machal Shabbos from. Why? The rule is chalel alav Shabbos achas. Desecrate one Shabbos, kadesh yishmor Shabbos arbis, you can keep many more Shabboses. So sometimes you have to rule to not do a particular mitzvah so that other mitzvahs will be done properly, or to be stricter, to enable the rest of the Torah to be done properly. Well, Bezin knew that if we're going to let people blow a shofar on Shabbos, people will carry shofars on Shabbos. So what happens? Now we've denigrated Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos is very important. And they feel for the overall body of mitzvahs, keeping Shabbos is the core of all mitzvahs, we can live without blowing the shofar one day. Okay, hey.
Wait.
You have to remember, you know, in some places they didn't have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah under certain circumstances. Right. So it could be they didn't even hear it at all that year. That would make a big deal, yeah.
Two questions here. First of all, the first one is
a two-question rule, I guess that's it.
Yeah, if we're talking about Beit Din here, but there's that sort of that famous story.
It's a Bezdin of Yerushalayim now. So the Sanhedrin can do this. We can't do this now. Go ahead.
No, but there was that story of the rabbi who on Yom Kippur, when there was a
he told him they have to eat.
You have to eat.
That's
eat
right.
In front of them, right?
Yeah.
So who gave him the right to do that?
He did. Every Bezdin can do this. Because he saw that his people in his city were going to die.
Yeah.
So he has the right to do that.
But he's not a...
It doesn't matter. He has to take the law into his own hands because he's going to see that people are going to die. It's a psak halach. It's a psak halach. This wasn't changing a law for all of Klal Yisrael. In his city, there was a sickness that was spreading around. So what if someone would ask me, one person would ask me, Rabbi, I'm not well. Should I eat on Yom Kippur? So if the person was that sick, I'd say, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. Yeah. So it wasn't one person. It was a cholera epidemic. He wasn't passing for all of Klal Yisrael. So every rabbi at any time can render a halacha for the people of his community. That's all he did. So for his community, he said, you have to eat on Yom Kippur.
Which was consistent with Allah.
That is consistent with Allah. The halacha is a sick person must eat on Yom Kippur if his health is in danger. So weren't overriding any laws. Second question.
The second question was we're looking at this here, that the conservative rabbis who opened up the gates of for the cars to go in, because they were thinking the same thing. We're losing Jewry to the suburbs. We got a crisis on our hands. We have to do something about that. I don't think people just made this decision out in a vacuum. Like, this was...
Conservative rabbis don't know any Torah, so they're not in a position to make those decisions.
The conservative rabbis...
They do not know the Torah that the Gedolim knew. Okay? And if you're making a decision, then let's put it to a vote. And you know what? They should humble themselves before greater rabbis who told them not to do it. There's not one conservative rabbi could light a torch to any great Orthodox rabbi. They couldn't. They couldn't. And the majority, if all the Orthodox rabbis said not to do it, then you can't change it. Finished. That's all. They did everything. They changed everything as they saw fit to change it. You know, it's a mitzvah, an avera, baba, it's a mitzvah, baba avera, which you can't do. It flies in the face of everything of Yiddishkeit said. So that's, you know, I'm sorry to tell you that. They were not such great scholars. You have one or two token scholars who left their Orthodox yeshivas, became their scholars. So two conservative rabbis against thousands of Orthodox rabbis. As a rule, you go with the majority of scholars, not the majority of ignorant people. Okay, that's all it was doing. There was an agenda. There was an agenda. They had an agenda. So, you know, and we'll see at the end how wrong they were. How wrong, you see what happened to the conservative. They lost them all. And the Orthodox, they kept them much more than the conservative. You can't, they don't care about halacha. Why don't they say, okay, well, ask the Godel Hador. Ask the Godel Hador. Ask for Moshe Feinstein. Ask the Chazon Ish. Ask the Gedolim. But they don't hold to them as Gedolim. Well, so what can you do? They're, you know, I won't say with all due respect to them, because they don't deserve any respect. We'll see what a Zaken Mamre is very soon. If they lived in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they'd all be killed. They're lucky there was no Beis Hamikdash, so they wouldn't get killed. You can't rule against, you know, what the majority of scholars say to do. You can't do that. It's who does such a thing? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi does this. Could you tell me one conservative rabbi who would dare compare himself to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi? Can you dare to do that? You have to know what you're talking about. You have to be in a position to make these decisions. You have to be a great holy person, not more of a diplomat and politician / scholar for these kinds of things. Hey. Bezdin Shinir Lahem Leagues or Xero, Lasaki Takana. If Bezdin sees that I want to make a certain decree or a certain takana, Olahanig Minig, or to make a minig. Now, they have to be very careful. Shrikam Lisyashe Vadava, they gotta think this thing over well. Veleda Tchila, and to figure out in advance, Imrova Tsiba Yuchom Lamud Behem, if the majority of the congregation is able to stand up to it, if they can live with it. There's a new decree now. Or they can't stand up with it. You never should make a decree if you feel that the majority cannot live up to it. Now, we're not talking about enforcing basic mitzvahs. We can't say, well, the majority feel it's hard to keep Shabbos. Okay, so let's nullify Shabbos. No, we're not talking about that. You want to make something new, right? So you can't make something new if they feel that the Jews are not going to accept it, right? And that's an important concept. It's based on a pasuk in Malachi. Because when you're making change, if you make change and the people aren't ready for the change, then the change is obviously not a good change. Even if you philosophically believe this would be the best thing, but if they're not prepared to take it, then it will have the opposite effect of what you want to do.
Well, we aren't doing that today.
No.
We rechecked our lettuce like we checked today. And
you don't have a choice. That's not, they're making a decree. They're not making it's a not decree. A That's a biblical commandment. You can't eat bugs. The rabbis are revealing to you, want you to know that this lettuce has bugs in it. It's not a rabbinic. People think it's a rabbinic decree. And they get all upset at the rabbis. I know there's a particular number of people, they're very angry at the rabbis. The rabbis didn't do anything. The rabbis said one thing. Want you to know. This is a biblical prohibition since Sinai. You can't eat bugs.
Yeah, no more
Guess what? We used to live in a period of time where there weren't bugs in the lettuce. Well, the truth of the matter is, we did live in many times when there were bugs in the list. There's all Hilchas Tolaim, the laws of bugs, in the Shulchan Aruch. So obviously, they lived with it throughout. So maybe at a certain period of time where he had DDT, and he didn't have to worry about bugs. But guess what? We don't have that anymore. The rabbis are just saying the old bugs of years ago, they're back. That's all they're saying. They're just saying, we just want to inform you that the lettuce that you eat now has bugs. And therefore, the old biblical law is enforced. The rabbis didn't do anything. They're bringing your awareness to a biblical mitzvah. Everyone thinks the rabbis have said you can't eat bugs. The rabbis never said to you. God said you can't eat bugs. The rabbis are pointing out to you there's bugs in the lettuce. That's all.
But does that mean your great-great-grandmothers were checking the lettuce for bugs?
First of all, in Poland, they couldn't even eat any lettuce. There wasn't any lettuce to be eaten.
Yeah.
All you had was potatoes, so there was no bugs. Okay, I'm just saying. You know what? So it could be they didn't eat it or they had to check it, but there's Hilchas Tolaim. If the Shulchan Aruch has the lettuce, you see in the Gemara. You have these halachas, so it existed. Surely there were bugs in the Mediterranean area. There's bugs all the time. Never has changed to have bugs. Right? The only thing is that when North America, there was a certain time where they were able to have pesticides, all of a sudden there were no bugs.
Well, that's recent history.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
But that's all people.
That's all you need for 20, 30 years not to have to check bugs and all. We were raised not having to worry about bugs.
No, but what did they do in the 1800s in America?
That. First, I'm telling you, my friend, they weren't that wealthy to have so many vegetables. There wasn't so many vegetables around to eat. Okay.
The ones that they had, the carrots.
I'm just saying, carrots, you know, lettuce. You have to remember, things couldn't be shipped all over the place. You don't have what you had 100 years ago. You only had lettuce if it grew in your place. If it didn't grow in your place, you didn't have lettuce. Finished. Now you have every fruit in the entire world at your fingertips. So now, there was a period where there was pesticides, you didn't have to worry about it. And now you have every type of food that is not being sprayed, so now you have to worry about it. That's all. I don't know why everyone's so mad at the rabbis. What do you want from them? They're saving you from doing averus. If they keep their mouth closed, how many averus would be doing if they wouldn't say anything? Everybody's got that.
Wasn't it this similar situation with Ezra and Nehemiah that they had where they made the decree, rabbinical decree, that you had to go to the mikvah on a daily basis?
Well, let's read. We're going to get to all these things. Just hang on. Vav. Now, so you have to making a decree. A decree is something brand new now. It's not from the Torah, as it were. It's either the strength in the Torah or to make a decree. You have to now say it. Will people be able to take it? Because if you're giving them something they can't take, then instead of helping, it will make it worse. So then sometimes it's better not to say anything, because things will get worse if they can't keep it, then they think they're sinners. Vav. Haresh Gazer, Bezin, Zerah, Vedimu, Shrova, Kol Yichon, Lama. But let's say the Bezin made a decree, and they thought the majority would be able to keep it. But after they made the decree, Pik Bekuamba, the people denigrated it. They made fun of it, as it were. And they felt they couldn't handle it. A little pusher of call, and it didn't spread out. People didn't accept it. Harezebetela, it's nullified. And it's gone. And you can't force people to do it. For example, there was a concept of taharas yadayim, certain to keep your hands, even without a base of mish, keep your hands holy. Like there was a base of mish, and want to have that, and people couldn't keep up with it, so they had to drop it. Individuals could keep it, but you couldn't enforce the majority to live with such a standard, they couldn't live that way. Zion, what if Gazru Vedima Shapash Bakal Yisrael? What if they made the decree and they thought it spread to the Jews and they thought everybody accepted it? Vamadavar Kain Shonam Rabbas, and it went for many years and they thought people were doing it. And guess what? Ulachar's Manmarub, after many years, Ahmed Bezanach, another Bezan went along, Ubarak, because they checked things around, they did a poll, Varosh and Osek Zervish, because they saw that people weren't keeping it. Finished. They weren't keeping it. We made a mistake. We thought they kept and they weren't. Yesu Rishus Lavatel. That later Bezin can nullify the earlier Bezin's decree. Vavila Yepachas Bezin Rishon Bechachmin. Even though they're not as many and not as smart as earlier Bezin, but they're retroactively telling us it never really was accepted. So for example, they bring an example, even though Hillel and Shammai made a decree that oil of non-Jews, you're not allowed to eat it. even if it's kosher. They made such a decree for whatever reason to keep Jews away from goyim, whatever. So, although wine was kept by people, but oil, Rabbi Huda Nasu came later. He saw they weren't keeping it. Right? And certainly Hillel and Shammai were greater than Rabbi Huda Nasi. When he checked out and saw that people weren't keeping it, so his bezin went and said it was permitted. Okay? So that, what you have. So therefore the commentary in my Rambam says, and therefore we have three differences in these halachas. It says a bezin that does a drush of one of the 13 Hermunic principles, and they make a decision, this is the law based on this. And if another bezin comes along and finds a reason to overturn it, they can overturn it, even if it's a lesser bezin. A lesser bezin, if it's just a question of intellectual understanding of what a law should, it's a new case, a new type of law, they can overturn it. If a bezin makes a takana, or a custom, and it spreads amongst all the Jews, another bezin cannot nullify it unless they are greater than them in wisdom and in number. If a bezin makes a decree to as a safeguard for the Torah and the decree spreads, another bezin can never uproot it permanently. And if they found that it didn't spread amongst the Jews, then a latter bezin could. Now we could add also, if they find that maybe they feel temporarily we shouldn't keep this one, temporarily what the new one did, they could nullify that as well.
What about the thing we talk about women took upon mitzvahs on themselves?
That's what they took upon themselves.
So this becomes a precedent and it can't be stopped anymore?
You know, if it spread upon and they took it upon themselves, you know, there's certain things they took upon themselves in Hilchas Nida, and the Rabbam said, no, it's a good idea, so let's go along with that. Ches. V'chol bezin shehit or shnei dvarim. And if you have any bezin that decide to be lenient in two areas, al yamar lahatar dover shehit, you shouldn't be so quick to make a third leniency. Whoa. Right? For example, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, we already saw, was lenient on the oil. For example. So they said, you know, maybe we should make non-Jewish bread pasakum lenient as well. So Rehuda nothing, though he wanted to, he didn't. Why? Because he already made two things permitted, and you don't want to be known as a conservative. Okay? But all that, like, everything's becoming light. You know, you can't do too much in one generation. Right? So therefore, it says, al yamar, don't hurry. You could at the end, but it shouldn't be so quick to make everything so not lenient. Test. Holy Yesh Lebezin Ligzerva Lesser Dover Mutar Vyamudi Sir Ladur. Since the Bezin has the power to decree and prohibit something that was normally permitted, and that thing could stay for many generations. V'chein Yesh Lehem Lahatir Sir Ladur. And they can also permit certain prohibitions of the Torah, Lefisha, temporarily. Ma'uzesh Sir Ladur. Now we have to understand the following. If Bezin can really play around a lot, then what is the Torah prohibition that says, lo sozi, you cannot add to the mitzvahs, for lo sigraman, you can't take away from mitzvahs. So what does that really mean? How does that really apply if we see that bezin can take away and they can't add? So now how do we understand the idea that there's a biblical man where you can't? So Ram's going to explain. Means, lo lahosi val divrei Torah, we can't add on to words of Torah, even temporarily, and to make less of them, and to establish it forever, that it is a Torah thing. In which you cannot say that this thing is usher from the Torah, when it's not. In other words, the Torah usher so much, and I say, you know, we're going to say the Torah says it's also usher. Another thing. That they can't do. You can't say this. There's more usher in the Torah than what you see in the Torah, or less usher in the Torah. That they can't say. Bein b'Torah shebichsav. Doesn't matter if it's the written law that we have, bein Torah shebichsav, or the oral law, meaning Moshe halacha l'Moshe Mishina. It wasn't written in the Torah, but it is still biblical. But it's orally given over. You can't say we're changing that. Case. Let's have an example. Kasum b'Torah. What does it say in the Torah? Lo sevasho gedi b'chalev imo. You shall not cook a baby goat in the milk of its mother. Now, what do we know from that? Mipi Shmua. Halach al-Moshmi Sinai, we learned. She said, because of Asr Lavasho Velacho Basarachov. We learned you cannot cook, you cannot eat meat, beef, and milk. Bein Besar Behema, doesn't matter if it's an animal's meat, Bein Besar Chaya, or undomesticated animal. So, although the Pasuk says Gidi, a kid which is a domesticated animal, so from the text you see a domesticated animal can't be with milk, but Halach al-Moshmi Sinai explains, or a law biblically explains, that even a Chaya, an undomesticated animal, is biblically prohibited. Aval bisar ha'ov, but chicken meat with milk. Mutar b'chamisha. Biblically, you could have chicken with milk, no problem. Now let's analyze what can and cannot the Bezdin do with this. Im yava Bezdin v'yatir basar chayev b'chalav. If the Bezdin will come along and permit undomesticated animal with milk and say now it is allowed, and they're saying this is now allowed, Harezigor, so now you're taking away, you're detracting from Israel. They're saying, you know, it's not Osir anymore. What do you mean? It's a Torah mitzvah. How can you take away a Torah mitzvah? It's not a decree, you're just saying it's not Osir. Right? V'im yeser v'sarof, what if they say now chicken and milk is Osir, but for the following reason, v'yomar, shubachlal hakdishos, it's included in the kid, that's biblically usher, and we are saying it's biblically prohibited.
That's adding.
Haraisa that. Mos, if you're adding.
It's not there.
Okay, even though it didn't say the undomesticated animal in the Torah either, but that was in the oral law, that was biblical. You see. So that they cannot do. Right? Aval, but what if they say like this? Imamar, they say the following. Besar ha'of, they're gonna say chicken and milk. Really, mutter min haTorah. We agree it's allowed in the Torah, but for anu nasar also, we're going to prohibit it rabbinically. For nadilam, we're going to tell the people, she would say it's only a decree. So you have min haDavar chovah that something bad shouldn't happen. So we acknowledge we're not adding to the mitzvah. We're throwing in a safeguard. We don't dare change this mitzvah. We agree biblically you could have chicken and milk. But we feel rabbinically it's important to safeguard the pre-existing prohibition. Because people will think, well, wait a minute, you could have chicken and milk. Why? Look how misguided people would think. Ha'of mutter, why can you have chicken and milk? Because it's not written in the Torah. Well, guess what? Is the undomesticated animal written in the Torah? So the undomesticated animal is also pre-existing, not written in the Torah. And that would be a terrible mistake because it would be transgressing a biblical mitzvah. And once you have somebody doing that already, what's going to be the domino effect? The other guy will say, and really beef would be allowed, except for a goat. Except for a goat. The other guy will say, even a goat is permitted, in the milk of a cow, or in a sheep. Only its mother, which is its own species. So only the goats. Which only the milk and the meat of the same species is only us, sir. Another will say, even if it's the same species, but it's not its mother, it's allowed. So it only says its mother. Therefore we prohibit all meat with milk, or even chicken. And that's not in increasing the mitzvah. Torah. It's making a fence around the Torah. V'chein kol k'yotzman, similar, anything to that. So if a person would say, you know, certain things are not usher at all, then that would be violating the Torah mitzvah. Or if they're saying it is usher when it's not usher biblically. But safeguards does not change that. So whenever the rabbis are adding and detracting, they're only doing it, they're telling you it's not a biblical change. They're telling it's only rabbinic change to maintain the integrity of what's biblically halacha.